Turn, please, to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. First Chronicles chapter 16, we're going to look at verse 34. I'm sharing this out of the New King James Bible. And this is when David, King David, brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel. And there was a great celebration and there was dancing and rejoicing. And verse 34 in 1 Chronicles 16 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Turn, please, to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, we're looking at verses 4 and 5. I'm reading that also out of the New King James Bible, and it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." That's what we were doing this morning in praise and worship. We came in with thanksgiving. We came in with praise. We are thankful and we blessed his name. Why? "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." One more scripture. Turn, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 17 and 18. Again, in the New King James Bible, it says, "As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'Why do you call me good?' Jesus asked. 'Only God is truly good.'" What's the key theme in all of these scriptures? God is good. So today, God wants us to close out the year with everything that you have personally and we as a congregation have walked through, with everything that you have faced and tolerated and endured, with everything that you've embraced and known and heard about and had to come past. God says, in spite of it all, God is still good. This message came about. I was helping my precious sister, Tennille Rudolph, in coordinating her husband's homegoing service a few weeks ago. And one night, Tennille and I were on the phone, just going over different details and matters. And Tennille began preaching to me. And she said, "In spite of my pain, in spite of my devastation and my hurt, in spite of all that I'm dealing with right now, I can still say God is good." And that stirred something in me, because every one of us, and we're going to look at it in scripture, I don't care how protected and prosperous and blessed and favored and highly educated we are. If you're going to live more than a day in this earth, you're going to encounter some things. Jesus never told us that we'd walk through life without hills, without issues, without concerns, without hurts, without disappointments. But what do we say in the midst of it? What is our heart's position after it? Are we daunted and destroyed or defeated in the process? Do we give up hope and say, "Lord, why me?" Or do we remember the character and the nature of the God we say we serve? Because in spite of it all, no matter what it is, he does not change. Hallelujah. And God will always be good. So those three scriptures that we looked at, the word "good" in each one of them, according to Strong's Concordance, it says God is kind, God is ethically right, God is excellent, God is morally good, God is rich, God is honorable. God is upright. All of those are attributes or aspects of God's nature, the characteristics that he demonstrates. And it's not based on our current circumstances. That's just who he is. The word good in Webster's dictionary says that the person we call good is reliable. Think about our Father God. They are wholesome. They are true. They are kind. They are benevolent. And they are close as a close friend. Scripture tells us there is one who sticks closer than a brother. And I don't know of any place in this life that we can go that God does not go with us. Why? Because for believers, his spirit is in us. So wherever we go, God, who is good, is there. Now, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it states that God is love. That's how we came to Christ, because of God's love. But coupled or connected or intertwined with the nature of God as love, it also talks about his being good. And it talks about his being faithful. This is just a reference. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit are listed. And that's the fruit of the Spirit that every believer receives when they come into Christ. And two of those fruits, goodness and faithfulness. Why would God not give us what we need? It's from him. And so scripture says that we were made in his likeness and after his image. So if our Father is good, why wouldn't he give us the aspect, the characteristic, the ability, and the power to have goodness within us? Turn, please, to Mark chapter 10. We looked at it. I'm going back to it in the Amplified Bible because it makes it a little bit clearer. As Jesus was leaving on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, you who are essentially good and morally perfect, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That is eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom. Jesus said to the man, "Why do you call me good? No one is essentially good by nature, except God alone." God's nature is good. He can't be any other way. Because God's nature is good, God is not only good, he does good. His word is good. His actions are good. His thoughts are good. And if you go back to the book of Genesis, when he created mankind, what did he say? He didn't say we were good. He said we are very good. So God made us in his image and after his likeness, and he made us good in spite of what we've walked through this year. Now, please turn to the book of Nahum. That's in the Old Testament, between the book of Micah and the book of Zephaniah. I'm saying that because I had to look it up. How many of you read Nahum every day? So when you just open your Bible, it just flips open to book of Nahum. I thought so. The book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. I'm reading in the New King James Bible. "The Lord is good. He is a stronghold," say stronghold, "in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him." That word stronghold stood out to me. It means a fortified, protective place where members of a military group stay and are defended against attacks. Think about the body of Christ. Think about God as our strong tower. Think about God as our refuge. So God is a stronghold for us. He is our fortified, protective place. We, the body of Christ, are the army of God. And we come in, the song Pastor Clinton taught us, that we can run into the secret place of God and we are safe. The name of the Lord is a what? strong tower. How many of us, when we've walked through some things, confronted some things, were encountered with some things this year, it was only calling on Jesus that sustained us. When we could not remember our name, but we could say, Jesus, I need help, Lord. That was our safety. That was our refuge. That was our strength. And he's God in the good as well as not so. In the New Living Translation, that same verse in Nahum chapter 1, the Lord is good. He is a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him. Did you notice the scripture didn't say if trouble comes? And this is not to get us, hear me clearly, family. This is not to get us to camp down on the trouble, on the stuff, on the sadness, on the issues, on the adversity, on the struggles. No, it is to focus that in the midst of it, in spite of it, above it, and after it, because guess what? Every one of us has made it through the past 363 days. And guess how we did it? By the goodness of our God, by the grace of our God, by the favor of our God, by the protection of our God, by the word of our God, by the spirit of our God. So even if your year has been stellar and you've had no issues, I want to talk to you after service. Even if your year has been perfect and everybody loved you, and everybody blessed you, and all things went good for you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See me on January 3rd. Because life comes with issues. And so when the scripture says that our God is a strong refuge when trouble comes, it tells me that I must be mindful in the character of my God, that regardless if there's trouble and regardless if there's not, he is still my refuge. He is still my strength. He is still good. He is still reliable. He is still honorable. He is still just because he does not change. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy. This word today is to be an encouragement and a reminder. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm going to share verses 3 and 4 out of the New Living Translation. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God! He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Remember, one of the characteristics or attributes of the word good is that God is not only good, but his actions, his deeds, his methods, his works are good. So this scripture says his deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God. Can we say amen? Amen. Who does no wrong. How just and upright is he? So now let me help the head that tilted and said, wait a minute. You said everything he does is just and fair. I've seen and experienced some things this year that just haven't been right. Just haven't been fair. What about that? I've learned something. Pastors Joseph and Marlene Lewis and I had a conversation last month. And those of you that remember the Lewises, you know when Pastor Joseph gets excited about the word and he starts running from one side to the other. Well, he was in my office to preach to me. And he ran from one side to the other. And I'm telling you, I loved every moment of it. It was God pouring the oil and the wine in for me, what I needed. But Pastor Joseph shared something with me that was foundational. He said, in this walk, it's called faith. And so in the places where there's not logic, when there's not reason, when there's not answers, when there's not explanation, there should always be faith. And faith is not faith because we know it. Faith is not faith because we understand it or like it. Faith is faith because we believe God. It's just that simple. Take it back a moment. How many of you had a mother or a parent or a grandparent that sometimes they just didn't seem nice to you? When you were a child, you thought they were mean. But did they ever stop being mommy or daddy or grandma or grandpa or uncle or auntie? That because that's who they were. Well, even in moments in our lives when it seems like everything is just not fair, just not good, just not right, always remember the nature and the character of the one we call Father. He's always good. He's always right. And he does not change. God's word is good. Turn to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verses 4 and 5. I'm reading this out of the New King James Bible, and it says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Who's in the earth? And what is in us? God. And in that recreated spirit is God's goodness. But let's take it a little further. Who put the stars in the heaven? Who made the sun for the day and the moon for the night? Who keeps all of the planets orbiting and nothing is crashing into one another? Who brings the sun up on one side of the world and sets it down on the other? Who gives breath to us every day? Whose mercies are new every single morning? So think about it. His goodness fills the earth. Every time you look at a sunset, remember God is good. Every time you see a rainbow, remember God is good. Every time you see winter end and the first blood buds of grass come up and indicate spring is coming, remember God is good, because he is the God that brings all of that to pass. The New Living Translation of Psalm 33, verses 4 and 5 says, "For the word of the Lord holds true." I don't care what anybody says, God is not a liar. Even when we don't understand, God is not a liar. I will say it the way I've heard my pastor say it. There are things we just don't know. And if God chooses not to reveal it, if God chooses not to make it known, he is still God, and he is still good. That is the place where faith must be active. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. Not only is God's word good, God does good. Turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. Out of the King James Bible, it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He is slow to anger." How many of you like me are happy about that? And then God says, "Imitate me." "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He is slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all." Say it with me. The Lord is good to all. Even to that neighbor, that coworker, that person that you wish would go somewhere else but in your place. The Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all of his works. Turn to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verse 7 in the New King James Bible. "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever." That word perfect means God will complete, God will perform, God will bring to an end that which concerns me. The New Living Translation of that same verse says, "The Lord will work out his plans for my life." Two key factors: if we let him and if we trust him. "The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever." So not only is God good, not only is his word good, not only does God do good, God gives good. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, and it says, "So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father." Where does the good come from? "Who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow." God does not change. How many times have we, whether in business, whether in family, whether in relationships, we are dealing with people and sometimes you just don't know how to take them. Because they say one thing and they do another. Or, you know, they're this way today and they're that way tomorrow. And they say, "This is my standard." And you go by that standard and the next day it's something different. And you go, "Well, what happened?" God is not like that. Our Father changes not. The Word of God says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can count on His being reliable. So the Scripture says, "Don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father." I'm going to read that in the Amplified Bible. "Do not be misled, my beloved brothers and sisters. Everything given and every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and the sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, there's no rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning. For he is perfect and he never changes." Not only is God good, not only is his word good, not only does he give good, but his actions, he tells us to do good. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. I encourage you, do a word search on the word good in the Bible. It will encourage your heart to see how good our God is. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation. And the word says, "But I say, love your enemies." We could stop right here, but we got to keep going. "But I say," we want to make it through the end of the year. "But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." Say it with me. "Pray for those who persecute you." Did not say, put it on Facebook. Did not say make it public. Did not say go out there and make this a campaign against somebody else. It says pray for those who persecute you. Now I'm moving on. "In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven." Get this. "For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good." Is there anybody that in your neighborhood you know of people who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ? And so when you woke up this morning, there was only light over your house and there was darkness over theirs. There was light everywhere, right? Scripture says he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Do you realize even before we came to know God, we were operating his mercy? His mercy kept us until we could come to know him. So why shouldn't we extend that same mercy and love and kindness and benevolence and goodness to those who do not yet know Jesus Christ? Because the goodness of God, our Father, dwells in us. It's in our recreated spirit. Turn, please, to Psalm 103. We're going to look at some more of God's good actions. Psalm 103, verses 3 through 5. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. This is what God did for us. "He forgives all my sins and heals all of my diseases." Is anybody happy about that? "He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies." Is anybody glad about that? Yeah. He fills my life, hallelujah, with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. How many of us have come through days and maybe weeks and months this year when we felt we couldn't take another step? When we couldn't know how to lift our head off the pillow and we said, oh God, I just don't want to move. When it seemed like, Lord, if you don't do something, I won't make it past this season. But God said, he fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. How many times have we left home or went about our days and we felt drained and we felt tired and we felt depleted, but we kept talking to God. We kept speaking what his word says. And then at the end of the day, we were walking a little stronger. We were feeling a little better. Why? Because he fills our days with good things and our youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh yes, in case you haven't heard it before, God is good. Hallelujah. Lamentations chapter 3. Oh yeah, we're walking through the Bible. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. Out of the Message Bible says, God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They are created new every morning. He's not running out. How great is your faithfulness? I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. God is not a second consideration. He must be our foundational priority. So when the word says he's all that I've got left, we don't have a plan B. But let me ask you this seriously. Take a moment and think about this. Regardless of how long you've been saved, in your worst situation, in your direst moment in this year, in the hardest place you've been in this year, in the most painful, tight, struggling, unsettled moment you've had this year, if you did not know God, what would you have done? You want to think about that. So when the scripture says he's all I've got, you better believe he's all we've got. Because if we had to go back to relying on ourselves, if we had to go back to relying on people who may mean well, but the arm of flesh will fail you. God is all we've got, and he's nobody's consolation prize. He is our rock, and he is our foundation. He is our fortress, and he's our waymaker. He's our sustainer. He's our healer. He's our protector. He is our giver. He is the one. Hallelujah. He is the one, hallelujah, that brought us to the 364th day of this year. He is the one that dried the tears. He is the one that answered the prayers. He is the one that got us out and got us through. He is the one that's taking us to. Oh, yes, family, God is good. So remember this, God never leaves us, even in the time of trouble, even in the tight and hard and unsettling places, even in the moment of adversity or harm. Turn to Isaiah chapter 43. I love the word of God. It will encourage you. It will strengthen you. It will teach you. It will guide you. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. Now in the New Living Translation, it says, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, so now I'll say to you, now family, listen to the word of the Lord, the one who formed you. He says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And the emphasis, family, is not to dwell on the fire, the flood, or the high places. It's to remember that we are going through. And he's bringing us out, and he's bringing us into, he's bringing us to victory, he's bringing us to purpose, he's bringing us to destiny. If nothing else, if nothing else, it will strengthen us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But, and this is where we camp out on, not the afflictions, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. God's love does not leave us. That verse in the Amplified Bible says, many hardships and perplexing circumstances confront the righteous. Anybody had some hardships this year? Anybody had some places where you just stepped back and said, wait a minute, God, this looks bigger than I thought. But the word of God says, but the Lord rescues him from them all. Turn, please, to John chapter 16. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Deacon Ken, don't start me. I'm trying to get through this message, I tell you. Talking about the goodness of the Lord should excite you. It should stir your faith. It should help you stay focused. John chapter 16, verses 31 through 33. Jesus is speaking. And in the New Living Translation, he says, but the time is coming, indeed it is now, when you will be scattered. He's talking to his disciples, and he's telling them what's going to happen when he goes to the cross. But he says, when you will be scattered, each one of you going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Can you say that? Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. This is key. Here on earth, where are we? You will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. How many of us are in Christ Jesus? So if we are in Christ, since we are in Christ and he overcame, guess what we do? Don't let go. Don't give up. Don't focus. Don't stay there with the trials and the sorrows. Yes, they're happening. Things will come up, but keep your focus on Jesus. Remember that God's love will never fail you, that his goodness will keep you. As the scripture says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Didn't say when it looked like good. Didn't say when it feels like good. It simply says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That verse, John 16 in the Amplified Bible says, in the world, you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. For I have overcome the world. That's Jesus speaking. My conquest is accomplished. My victory is abiding. And if we are abiding in him, then we're abiding in victory, no matter what it looks like. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Out of the Amplified Bible. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, we sang about him earlier. The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not become tired or grow weary. Ooh, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Because if God got tired of me, I'd be lost. If God got weary of me, I'd be done. But God, our Father, think about how big the body of Christ is all throughout the world. And everyone has their own situation and is bringing God petitions and requests and needs. And yet the scripture says he does not become tired or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. You don't have to go far to find it. God has understanding. He gives strength to the weary. Anybody had him? And to him who has no might, he increases power. I'm a living witness. Glory to God. Even youth will grow weary and tired. And vigorous young men stumble badly. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect the Lord, who look for the Lord, who hope in the Lord, they will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings, glory to God, and rise up close to God like an eagle rises close to the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and they will not grow tired. When God says wait on him, trust him, family. When God says wait on him, camp down in his goodness. When God says wait on him, shut up to the circumstances and open your mouth to praise. When God says wait on him, remind yourself of the last thing he did for you. Remind yourself of the last thing he brought you out of. Remind yourself of the goodness of our God. And his track record does not end. So we can afford to wait, trust, hope, and expect in the goodness of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 40. In the New Living Translation, it says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? What's the answer? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? If we are persecuted or hungry? If we're destitute or in danger? If we're threatened with death? And the answer is? Drop down to verse 38, 37. No! Despite all these things, you've put there everything you've encountered, walked through, heard, and endured this year. Despite all of that, God says, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And this should be our confession. Verse 38. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Stop giving Satan place he doesn't deserve. He didn't hang on a cross for us. He didn't redeem us. So he doesn't deserve the press that we've been giving him. The reality is, regardless of where we are and what we encounter and what we face, Satan cannot separate us from the love of God. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go back to Isaiah. Yes, we're walking through the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 41. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. In the Amplified Classic Bible, it says, God speaking, fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Oh, boy. I will say it again. God says, I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. So today we've heard just a little bit about the goodness of God. And God asks a question. In spite of all that this year has brought, in spite of every moment, good and maybe not so good, everything we've had, what we've considered successes, some things not so successful, some things that have been trying and hard and uncomfortable and difficult and maybe even pleasant, God says, what will be your closing statement on the year 2018? In spite of everything this year has brought, that on the 364th day of this year, if someone had to ask you, what is your one-line statement about this year? God says, what is your response? So we're going to share some things, three scriptures, Jeremiah chapter 29. Because regardless if your year has been so favorable, so positive, so good, everything's gone right, and you have money, you have prosperity, you have peace, you have health, you have everything going well and good for you. Maybe your year has been a struggle. Maybe you've been to times that have seemed so hard and so difficult, and you felt very much alone. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 in the Amplified Bible. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 in the Amplified Bible. I pray I'm, because I cut and paste real quick, and forgive me if I cut and paste the wrong scripture, but you'll get it when I read it. In the Amplified Bible, it says, thus says the Lord, let not the one who is wise and skillful boast in his insight. Let not the one who is mighty and powerful boast in his strength. Let not the one who is rich boast in his temporal satisfaction and earthly abundance. But let the one who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that's God. And he acknowledges me, and he honors me as God. And he recognizes without any doubt that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. So no matter what we could boast in, because all of it, if it's good, is because of God. But the reality of it is, don't boast in the money. Don't boast in the fame. Don't boast in the acquisitions. Don't boast in the talents and the skills. Thank God for them. But if you're going to boast about anything, don't even boast about the martyrdom of, oh, woe is me, I've been through all of this. Don't make that your platform. But if you're going to boast about anything, boast that you know God. And by knowing him, you have intimate relationship with him. You have fellowship with him. He has brought you out of many places. He has taken you into good things. Boast in his loving kindness. Boast in his mercy. Boast in his grace. That's our platform. Second key principle, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 10, I'm going to jump through to verse 7, and I'm going to jump through to verse 10 in the Amplified Bible. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's sharing about his experience of being caught up to the third heaven and all of the glorious things that he encountered and experienced, but he couldn't talk about it. And so he says, because of the surpassing greatness and extraordinary nature of the revelations which I received from God, for this reason, to keep me from thinking of myself as important, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, and this is what the thorn was, to torment and harass me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen to what it says in the Amplified Bible. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough. They are always available, regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected, and it is completed, and it shows itself most effectively in your weaknesses. How many of us are willing to glory in our weakness so that the grace of God can be exalted? Do you understand, after we came into Christ and we received the grace to be saved, that grace did not leave us? That grace is God's ability and God's favor. That grace is God's love. That grace is God's strength. That grace is God's goodness. And it's undergirding us and it's holding us up. And as we go through this life, and there are winding roads and there are curves, and sometimes it feels like we're up and other times we're a little bit lower, God's grace is keeping us in the curve. God's grace is watching over us. It says that he is perfecting us in it. Trust the grace of God. Last scripture, Habakkuk chapter 3. Verses 17 through 19. Now, I just want to put this out there so you understand why this scripture was so significant in Habakkuk's time. They lived in Israel in an agricultural society. So their wealth, their sustenance was from the ground and from cattle. So if there were no figs, if there were no olives, if there was no cattle, they did not live. They did not eat. They did not have provision. So today, let's bring it home to 2018. So if there's no money in your bank account, and there's no food in the cupboard, and there's no friend you can call to ask to borrow $20, and there's nobody that you can go to, there's no food bank to go to, there's no job to call your own, what do you do? What becomes your temperament? What becomes your attitude? What do people hear you say? Now, listen to what Habakkuk said. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the product of the olive oil fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there's no cattle in the stalls, this is his position. Yet, hallelujah, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the victorious God of my salvation. The God who is my strength. He is my personal bravery, and he is my invincible army. In the midst of having nothing, in the midst of devastation, in the midst of lack and hurt, the prophet Habakkuk was able to say, the Lord is my strength. Can we say that in the midst of it? He is my personal bravery. He's my invincible army. I'm going to say it because I've heard it said. God says, check your attitude. Because the reality of it is, your attitude will tell what's coming out of your mouth. So when I focus on the lack, guilty. When I focus on what hasn't been good, guilty. And I know I'm not up here by myself. Y'all just don't get to be on the camera right now. So I'll do it. I'll say it for us. But when I have focused on what wasn't right, when I have focused and meditated for too long on what wasn't good and what was uncomfortable and what was painful, my attitude was bad. And so God says, check your attitude. Because what you focus on shapes your attitude, and your attitude will produce your words. And your words will frame your world. So in the midst of it, the prophet Habakkuk says, the Lord God is my strength. He's my personal bravery. He's my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk. Listen to this, family. Not to stand still in terror. You know, many times we're like, oh God, I know I'm supposed to do it, but I just don't want to do it, Lord. And he says, God will cause our feet to be like hinds' feet. And he will make us to walk not stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress, moving forward in the divine purpose that God has for each one of us in this earth. Make spiritual progress upon our high places. And how are those places? They are high places of trouble, of suffering, and responsibility. So think back over this year. Think back over what was good, what you wish you had done and you hadn't. Those things that you did do, those things that you did accomplish, those moments of stress, those moments of anguish, those moments of frustrations, those moments of disappointment, all of this year, good and not so good. And God says, man, jikuta basate ya sotota. Ashikai sukre besheririo su. Angre dish the tabasukra rabosha. Angre dish the tabasotene. Ima sukra bashikete satusuko brosata. Ambre kish kasundia sabra kosta. Oh my, oh my, oh my. And God says, I did not fail you. God said, I watched over you every single moment. And I kept you. I heard your questions. I saw your anger. I felt your pain. And I still love you. And I'll never stop loving you. I only ask you now, trust my goodness, because as I've kept you, I'll lead you. And as I lead you, I'll bring you. And as I bring you, I'll deliver you. And you will walk into fullness. But don't doubt my character. Don't doubt my nature. I did not fail you. I love you. And I am for you, and I will always, always be with you. And so, family, in spite of it all, say it with me. God is good. Hallelujah. Let that be our closing statement for this year and our introduction into 2019. Hallelujah.